Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On this week's Nonsensible Podcast.
Let's go back on a holiday again, and it's almost like the reverse of Home Alone.
My dad went through that. My mom, I had to see my mom come to school like almost every 6 months.
Yeah. I like that. That sounds so like Western.
I got there. And my dad's, hey, enlist him for next month. I was, what? I just got here like a month ago. What are you doing there?
This is Nonsensible.
Anyways, welcome to this week's episode of Nonsensible.
Thank you.
You're here with Dave.
Thank you, Sam.
Saul.
And Michael from 28 Lab.
What's up, Michael?
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for joining us.
Can you introduce yourself to the audience so people know who you are and what you do?
So, my name is Michael. I'm the founder of this movement called 28 Laboratory. I've started this a while back, about like 4 years ago now. And yeah, it's just a cool movement that I've started.
What is this movement?
So, basically, it's… It's like a movement that we call it a movement, but it's just a bunch of like collective people who's genuinely interested in art and who wants to, you know, speak out for themselves, you know, like it through music, visuals, like fashion. So, yeah, I mean, like we're doing what we love doing.
A variety label.
Yeah.
Per se.
And a lot of them are your friends, right?
Sorry?
A lot of the people are your friends.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. All of them are friends. So, cool. Yeah, just like five different dudes who just gather up and we're just like, hey, like we should, you know, start doing something for ourselves. And yeah, why not? And that's
right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Some cool stuff to look forward to in the future.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Working hard every day.
What's where are you from? Your accent's unique.
Come off it. Like you don't f***ing know. What's that saying? What's ask him to say it.
Oh, go ahead. All right, here's the test.
Right.
Can you tell me that your favorite song is Waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez?
No.
What no, I don't that? Just say that. I know it's not really your favorite song, but right. It's a test of an accent.
Okay, what is it?
My favorite song is Waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez.
My favorite song is Waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, he's Australian.
No, I was going for the other one.
Which one?
The VB at 5 o'clock in the morning.
VB at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, the VB is like, if you're a full-blown fair-licking Aussie, this is what you'd have for breakfast, you dog. A VB. Long neck. At 28 in the morning.
Jesus Christ. I mean, VB is a great deal.
You know VBs.
Yeah, yeah. He's…
Shout out to all my Hoju Saram.
Okay.
VB is a great beer.
As you can tell, Australians don't tend to get… We get kind of stereotyped.
Yeah.
Were you born in Australia?
No. No. So, I was born in Korea. I was thrown into Australia without having any of saying in it.
Wow.
So, my family, when I was in year five, like grade five, they were like, hey, you want to go on like a family vacation? So I was like, yeah, like I'm down. So I went with me and my little brother and me mom and dad. And we had a great time. We came back to Korea. And about like 6 months later, they were like, hey, you want to go to Australia again? Just like, you know, have fun. I was like, yeah, sure. We went. And we stayed there for like good 2 weeks at one of our relatives' house. And after a while, my parents, they were like, hey, by the way, you're going to be starting school from like 3 days later. I was like, huh?
Oh, no.
What do you mean? Like,
they
I don't even
give you a heads up. English.
Sorry?
They didn't give you a heads up?
No, nothing.
Did they go back to Korea?
They did.
Eventually. They left you?
Yeah.
They took you there.
Oh, yeah. This shit got dark.
So eventually, yeah. So it was like me and my little brother, we had no idea. We didn't know how to speak English. And we didn't even go to any of these like, you know, language schools that they have for like Asians or any other foreign students, right? And we were just thrown into this Catholic school. I was wearing this uniform that I never even like thought about wearing. And, you know, I was like the only Asian in my grade. All I could say was yes or no. They're like, hey, what's your name? Yes. How old are you? No.
That's like that show. What is the show with Anyang?
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development.
Yeah, it was very difficult. And eventually my mom came to live with me and my little brother until we were at the age of 18. We needed to have a guardian until we were 18. And then my dad stayed in Korea. He was the typical kirogi appa, if you know what that term is.
Yeah.
So he was the only parent who's going to be working in Korea, sending us money to live in Australia and whatnot. We did that. I lived there for about good 15 years. And I came back about like 4 years ago.
Why did they feel the need to like surprise you? They thought that…
Was that in kind of reference to that as well, was this their plan from the get-go? Like they took you there once and then they're like, let's go back on a holiday again. And it's almost like the reverse of Home Alone. So it's like, we'll take you on a plane, but oh, we lost your ticket, your passport. Well, you're going to have to stay here.
So I guess, I don't know, like my mom being a teacher, she's a teacher and my dad has his own company going and stuff and they're always busy, right? So I never had a great experience or like memories about us four families sitting in a table eating food together. They're always busy. And I guess at that time, it was worse than now. Like it was very competitive within like the school students and whatnot. And we had strict rules. We couldn't grow our hair. We all had to like have like shaved head.
How old are you?
Yeah. I'm 30, international age. Yeah. And at the time, my little brother, he was a smart kid. You know, he always studied hard and he was a goody-goody. And me, I was a troublemaker. I never studied. I was getting grades and… Maybe they just didn't see any vision in me and they were like, I'm going to just send you to Australia and just at least pick up some English. But that was once they first went to Australia, they thought that, this could be a great opportunity for our kids.
Well, do you think looking back, it was a good opportunity?
I think so for sure. If I stayed in Korea, I think I'll be like doing some like dodgy now.
Yeah. Nice. Well, then you know what? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it turned out horrible to you at the time, like a horrible sudden situation and something that… gave you a purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
So kudos to your parents.
Just that concept of…
I'm going to do that too with my kids. That's a good idea.
Just like throw them out.
It's like throwing them in the deep end of the swimming pool without anything.
True.
Like I can't imagine mentally where that would have put you for, I imagine, a few years. You probably would have had some angst towards your parents as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been telling my parents I want to go back to Korea. Like I've been saying that for like… Ever since I got to Australia, I was saying that for like a few years. I was like, I want to go back. I want to go back. Because obviously, it was very difficult financially as well at the time. But they still kept pushing me and my little brother to stay there and study, you know. And you know, I just didn't like seeing my parents going through so much just to like, you know, have us there and studying. So I was like, I want to go back. But they never would let me. I didn't have any choice. I was a little kid. So it was difficult. But looking back, I think they did a great job of keeping us there, going through all the hardship and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, I'm fairly happy with it.
Has that affected your relationship with your parents?
Oh, for sure. Like I was like, I mean, I was one of the kids. Like they always like had tough love on me. I never got any, you know, like great sense of like me getting loved or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I never see my parents all that often when I was a little kid. But after a while, when I came back from Australia, that's when I was like, hey, like, you know, they really appreciated me, you know, putting up with all that difficult times back in Australia and whatnot. And my relationship with my family is great now, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good to hear. Like that could really go in the opposite direction
true.
As well.
Very true.
Yeah.
Like you could almost feel like your parents had abandoned you to some kind of extent. But what about your brother? Is he… here in Korea?
He's in Australia. He's still in Australia. He loves living there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his, you know, life well set out now. He's got a great job. He's got his missus now. And yeah, I mean…
He got married?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean like he's pretty happy there. And he comes to Korea every now and then whenever he has the time. Mm-hmm. But right now, obviously since…
So big picture, your parents kind of set you guys up for a pretty good… That's
for
cool.
Sure, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So when did you come back here?
About like 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone… we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
If you said when you were here in Korea, you weren't the greatest student. Mm. Now, yeah, I've got two sons myself, and I'm like, right. If I've got sons that probably aren't the greatest students and like to muck around, I don't know if I'd send them halfway around the world to a country where I know they could get into more trouble. Like growing up in Australia, I know what it's like growing up in Australia.
Yeah.
And you can get in a lot of trouble.
You can get load of trouble. Yeah. I mean,
box kangaroos. Like, and
I mean, you just go down to the bottle shop and it's quite easy to buy alcohol when you're underage.
How old do you have to be to drink in Australia?
Legally, it's 18. So I turned 18 in my last year of high school in July, in the middle of the school year. So after that, every weekend, I was at the pub.
Hmm. Imagine that?
Did you hear that? How he said bottle shop?
How did he say it?
He's like,
bottle shop.
Bottle shop. He just calls it a bottle shop.
That's what we call it in Australia.
That's cool. That's.
I don't know. What do you call them in America?
It sounded cool.
A liquor store.
Well, it's actually different state to state. Like we do call it a liquor store, but like in North Carolina, it's only the only place you can buy liquor is from this place called an ABC store.
But you don't call it a bottle shop.
No, yeah, no. We call it a liquor store, but.
That's cool.
We don't call alcohol liquor.
Yeah. Liquor. You just call it alcohol.
Alcohol, booze, drink.
Yeah. That would be crazy to be allowed to drink in high school.
Well, I mean, it ruined my final year of high school. I got grades. I'm like, I'm getting drunk every night. I don't give a shit. And my grades obviously suffered. Yeah. I ended up going to the equivalent of community college for a year before I could get into university to get my grades up again.
Right.
Most 16-year-old, by the time you're 16, like you're generally not getting carded and you can just walk into a bottle shop and you say, can I have a slab of beer, which is 24 beers.
A slab. And then my favorite Australian slab. Drinking. You
walk out with a slab of beer on your shoulder and you're like, I'm good for the night.
Yeah.
Slab of beer.
I love slab.
And like growing up, that was the norm. I don't know what it's like now. Like I haven't lived in Australia for a long time, but there's a lot of opportunity to kind of go down the wrong path in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Bunch.
And also it's like super laid back there, right? So if you already have this like mindset of not really caring that much about school.
Very true.
Is school laid back too? The same way that like the society in general is pretty chill?
Compared to a career, I'd say for sure.
Everywhere compared to Korea, right?
I guess it's a cultural thing. It's almost historical, it seems. Yeah. Like they kind of look towards scholars. Mm. Like if you look in history, scholars are like the elite. They're like the top of the top. But in countries like America and Australia, athletes, you know, performers, artists are a lot – I'm not going to say they're more valued, but they're put on a similar level with scholars, whereas here, not so much. Mm.
To be fair, this has nothing to do with athletes, but you guys keep referring to Korean schools as more hardcore compared to Western schools. Yeah. But – from what I've heard and from what I've seen and talked to so many people and from going to school in the States, in Korea, elementary, middle, high school is generally way more difficult. But in America, whereas in America, compared to Korea, elementary, middle, high school is way easier. But it's the opposite when you get to university.
Yeah, sure.
Korea, it is. I heard Koreans, just university, they pretty much drink their way through university. Mm. A lot of Koreans, not all Koreans, of course. But in the States… from what I've heard, university is pretty rough.
In the West, it's generally progressive. The further you go up, once you go to like postgraduate, then you go to a doctorate, it gets harder and harder and harder. Mm. Whereas in Korea, it almost seems like the pinnacle is your last year of high school.
And then
it starts to kind of get a little bit easier.
Yeah, exactly.
Slide by a bit more.
I've heard it's a lot easier.
How fun it would be to go to college in Korea the other day.
I've always thought about that too.
It's probably pretty fun.
Because when I was in college in America, like I had to like save money to buy beers, you know?
I've seen kids like gathered in surtubes and stuff like with their classmates and stuff. They're like drinking. It looks
one
so
fun. One bottle of soju, you were when you're 20 years old. Imagine how much money, how much fun you could have in Korea for so cheap going to school.
I've done both, university here in Korea and in Australia. Right. I found I was getting too faced too often in Korea. And it didn't cost enough money. There was,
yeah, it,
was
didn't cost enough.
It was so detrimental to my schooling, my studies, and my health.
Yeah, but you learned Korean as a result of getting faced with a bunch of ajishis all the time.
Absolutely, but at least in Australia, I could kind of, you know, I could kind of hold myself back a bit. But yeah, even in Australia, at my university, we had a pub on campus.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's right. At lunchtime, we'd go and have beers with lunch, and we go back and have our lecture like half cut,
half drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Half drunk. Sorry. Half cut. Yeah, not tipsy. Half cut.
Tipsy.
Yeah.
Cut up.
Like a cut snake. Mad like a cut snake.
They have like beer.
Mad like a cut snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a word for snake. Like faced?
That's just when you're upset, you're mad like a cut snake. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I like that. That sounds so like Western.
Like the Western movies.
Like in the desert, mad like a cut snake. He was. Damn, that's crazy. So you can drink beer like on campus, not getting
drunk. They have like beer tabs and everything.
Yeah.
They're like student lounge. They're pool that's tables, so cool. Like bean bags everywhere.
Orientation week, they just, they have like cheap beers, like dollar beers. Yeah.
Wow.
Barbecue.
Yeah. Did you go, you went to university in Australia then?
Yeah. Yeah.
So all your middle school, high school, university.
Exactly. They was all in Australia. Yeah.
Question. So you went to university in Australia and that was essentially your choice because you were an adult.
Yeah.
So at what age were you like, all right, maybe Australia is not that bad. I don't have to go back to Korea. I want to go to university in Australia. At what point was that, like when did it hit you that, this is pretty cool?
Well, I mean, I never had a choice really because…
Even university?
Sorry?
Even university?
Yeah. So basically growing up, my family… even my mom's side and dad's side, they're all like educators, like principals or like professors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they always wanted me to become, you know, someone like them. You know, I was always expected to become a person in that education field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, I didn't want to like disappoint them at that time. And again, at the same time, I was like, you know what? I'll give it a go. I didn't study until like E12. Like, so last year of my high school, well, I didn't study up till then. I was always getting grades. I had all these like tutors and whatnot. They came through.
Australia?
Yeah. They all gave up on me. They're like, hey man, like.
So what made you at the very end decide to start studying?
I was like, oh, I have to study. If I don't go to university, that's a disgrace to my family.
There wasn't some like guidance counselor or something who walked up to you like a scene out of a movie and was like, I believe in you.
No, the guidance counselors in Australia.
Yeah, they don't do. They just sit there.
My guidance counselor was my mathematics teacher in year 10, 10th grade. And he came up to me and he said, you're so bad at mathematics. He's like, you need to drop it when you go to year 11 and get better marks in another class.
Mm. Wow.
And at the time I'm like, yeah, I hate maths. Okay, I'm going to drop it. Then when I decided there were certain things I wanted to do at university, I went and looked at the prerequisites that I needed.
You need to have
mathematics. Maths. Yeah. And of course he told me to drop it. So I kind of f***ed myself on that one.
That's crazy. In America, there's a lot of like French people talk about this, about how Americans like believe they can do anything. And it's like the reason why there are so many like really awesome American like athletes and artists, but there's also so many really, really shitty ones, you know, because Americans are just like instilled with this idea that they can do anything, like whatever they dream of.
The American dream.
So like that's like, it's real. Like guidance counselors in America will really just walk up to you and change your life real quick.
Really?
Tell you you're going down the wrong path, how great they think you could be.
We don't have that in Australia.
No.
That was actually supposed to be your birthday present. He was supposed to sing happy birthday to you and give you this. It was Dave's birthday last week. And so Sam and I had our friends from Shuttle bring you a present.
Why don't we just do it now?
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, no. He was meant to sing happy birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, son damn. Shoot. Get the f*** out of here.
It's a random man coming up.
Why didn't you tell him to come in?
He wanted you to be surprised.
Wow.
That's sweet. Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you
so much.
Happy
birthday, man.
It was the song was the killer, though.
Is it?
This is an inside joke.
He really goes crazy when he goes to a Turkish dessert shop.
Oh, really?
We were on a walk the other day, and he goes, "Have you ever had Turkish dessert?" And I was
like, "Is that a Turkish delight?"
That sounds like a song. I got him everything. All this
stuff. Yeah, Turkish delight. They're awesome.
We got him everything.
Hardcore.
That's hilarious.
All the Turkish you need in your life.
That's hilarious.
I've never seen anybody spend more money on desserts. We went in there and he spent like $70 on Turkish desserts.
Oh my God. Because I can't get it because I don't come out to eat Taiwan that often.
Yeah.
Didn't you just have like a falafel for lunch?
Cookies and stuff.
Thank you, Saul. That's really sweet.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Didn't you just have a falafel for lunch?
No, it wasn't a falafel. It was a wrap.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Thank you. It was a little while back, but I still appreciate it. Appreciate it so much.
Oh, you're just going to cry.
No, it's a sty.
Sorry, I did not.
Is that your first sty?
No, I get them all the time.
Me too.
But can I not change the subject real quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to tell a really quick wholesome story.
Yeah. Okay. How wholesome
Speaking
is
on
it?
Teachers and counselors and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
So, I was a really bad student until…
Join the club.
10th
I love this story.
I was in 10th grade and then I got this beautiful girlfriend and she was really good at school. And she was really good at school. So I was like, I got to get good at school too because she's going to not think I'm cool if I…
Don't get grades?
Yeah, if I don't get grades. I don't know. She was beautiful and super smart. She had all AP classes. So I was like, I should study.
Hmm.
So I studied a lot. I ended up in a bunch of AP classes, which was my parents were like, where did that come from? And I had this one teacher that I had in freshman year and I had another teacher and they had this, and she pretty much thought I was a disrespectful little because I was a disrespectful little, I didn't even try in school. And then I had her again later on, like junior, senior year for some computer web design class or something.
Mm.
And I did a lot better later on. And she was always my favorite teacher because she would never treat me like a student, but she would treat me like a friend. It was one of the few teachers where like, Dave, you're a smart kid. If you actually just applied yourself, you'd do really well.
Mm.
Well, what is wrong with you? Like, come on. Like she would talk to me like that. Like, come on. I mean, we joke around all the time, but I really need you to actually try. And I always remember her as one of my favorite teachers. So fast forward, how long has it been? How long has it been since 2007?
13 years.
13 years. I looked her up, emailed her. And I just apologized and thanked her at the same time. Like, thank you. I'm sorry. I was a little… But thank you so much for always trying with me.
Hmm.
And she replied this pretty much essay. And she's like, thank you for sending me that email. I've had a rough week for various reasons, blah, blah, blah. Of course, I remember you. And I remember you well. I've actually used you in a teacher story a few times. So as a reminder to never give up on a student. And anyways, when I had you as a freshman, I could tell you were going through something. You did act out sometimes. And I, as a new teacher, was still learning classroom management. She was also a young teacher. She was like 24,
right.
24, 25 or something. And then I didn't have you the next couple of years. And then during your senior year, I got my roster starting to play. I remember seeing your name and I think, here we go again. Blah, blah, blah. And I felt ashamed because, David, you were that student who taught me not to judge. You were that student who showed me that it is never too late to change. That any child can turn himself and in his trajectory around. That first impressions can be wrong. And that lashing out at teachers isn't necessarily a reflection of dislike or disrespect. It's never too late to make a fresh start. And she pretty much told me like she still remembers me and uses me as that example student.
Yeah.
And reading that. Like I couldn't help but tear up and I showed him it. And
I was crying.
He was crying while we were drinking together. He was like, what the hell, dude?
It's
the
most wholesome
that's happened to me in years.
I'm looking at Dave right now.
Yeah.
And this look, this emotion on his face.
Yeah.
Is something I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. It really did. Man, he read that really like fast. We were having a couple drinks together the other day and he told me that story. I was telling him about like a teacher that really,
right.
A couple of teachers that I had, especially like my principal who helped me out a lot. And anyway, he was like, oh, I have a crazy story about that. And we'd had a couple of drinks and I read that letter and I was crying. It was really sweet. She's like, it seems like she like shows videos of you to the kids or something.
I don't know. She was like, I don't know. just the stuff she wrote is just.
He's gonna cry again.
Like, what you, say. You were polite, enthusiastic, kind, friendly, and a joy to see every day. I was so proud of you because you had obviously overcome what was holding you back as a freshman, and you're growing into the amazing person you always meant to be. And when I see stuff like that, it just reminds me that.
Reminds you what it's all about.
Yeah. And Miss Painter, like, or Mrs. Painter, maybe now. I have no idea.
And we were talking about your life in Australia.
Yeah.
I just want to, it got me thinking about this because obviously you kind of grew up in Korea and your parents sent you over there and you've now come back. Has this whole situation for you, meant that you've had to deal with an identity crisis throughout any of this time of life for you?
Yeah. I mean, I go through that. I've been through that and I go through that still too. You know, like it is so difficult to, I guess, place myself at a certain position or an atmosphere because I always thought that I was Korean, even when I was in Australia. And now that I've come back to Korea, I'm still going through that. Hey, like there are bits and pieces that I don't get because I grew up in Australia most of my time. Certain backgrounds or cultural differences that I have to face in Korea too. I'm just like, wow, like what is happening? Like I'm very confused. I'm like a lost case internationally, lost case.
And Korean culture, like with the whole Noonchi thing, you're kind of just like supposed to know. Right?
Yeah. Right.
So what's an example of something that you just like kind of didn't know that was like difficult?
In Korea?
Yeah. Where you kind of felt lost, like you were saying.
I mean, me, I'm a very straightforward person. I don't hold back on my emotions nor like my thoughts and anything, right? And me, I thought that was being genuine. I thought that was being legit. Yep. So here in Korea, if I don't like someone, I look at them, they give me like off vibes. I'm like, hey man, I don't like you. So stay away from me. Or if I like that person, I'd be like, hey, you know, like we can be good friends if you do well. If you're going to put some effort in. Not because I'm a, like big-headed like a bag, you know. It's because I feel like me saying that, I thought it would give them the idea that I'm ready to give that effort if you're ready. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was out of good, you know, purpose. Or it was a good intention. But then they always took that wrong. And if that went to that route, I'm just like, okay, you don't… my vibe, I don't like you too then. Bye-bye. So I'm very black-white type of person. So I cut them off, do that and that. But in Korea, I've come to realize that you shouldn't do that. You got to be very round. You shouldn't have any enemies or you have to be very like, you know, round with everyone. And that's very difficult. Because in Australia, you only hang out with people that you hang out with. You don't get to meet a lot of people, you know. Like say like even for like relationships, all my mates back in Australia, they got married. And who do they marry? The people that they dated in high school. You know what I mean? Like they don't go out to like drink like Koreans do. Like every night. Because everything shuts down fairly early compared to Korea in Australia too. So me…
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What time? Is there like a 2 a.m. cutoff?
So they have a lockdown now. They've had that for a while now. But I think after 1 a.m. I believe.
You're from Sydney, right? Sydney. So Sydney has stupid lockdown laws. Like I think at one stage it was like 11 o'clock at night.
Down
drinking establishments.
Why? Because people were just throwing slabs in the sky.
Well, they were having issues. What it came down to was issues with violence in the city. Do you know what a king hit is?
No.
So a king, when someone king hits you, it means generally they've hit you in the back of the head. Like you can't see that they've hit you. So it's just like a king
sucker hit. Punch.
A sucker punch. And it was people getting knocked out and they're hitting their head on the concrete, comas, dying. And they were trying to, the way the government worked in New South Wales, which is where Sydney is, they're like, well, we'll just stop people drinking. But alcohol wasn't the issue because the violence was still there even after the lockdown laws were in place. But it was just kind of a blanket.
Just random people were getting sucker punched in
It was just random people like walk up to people and hit them. Yeah.
There was just like star fights.
Yeah.
Binge drinking was the main issue.
With a knuckle duster. Knuckle duster?
Bare fist.
Knuckle duster.
But it was just, you know what a knuckle duster is.
Yeah, like those ones.
He said that on the show.
I had no idea what I was talking about.
You guys don't call it knuckle dusters? Like, well, what
brass
do you
knuckles.
Brass knuckles. That's difficult to say. Knuckle dusters. It sounds better.
Yeah.
You know, you see these knuckle dusters.
Damn, that's crazy. And just
so random punch. People just get hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, if
why would you do that?
Yeah,
what, so why would you do that? Like, you I don't like that guy. I'm going to punch him in the back of the head.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like someone would say something at the pub and the guy would get upset with it and he's walking off and he'd punch him in the back of the head. And
so it's because of that there's a curfew there? Just because of violence?
It's only in Sydney, though.
Yeah, it's
not in other cities.
What is it about Sydney that makes you so inherently aggressive?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I'm not from Sydney, so capital. I can't comment.
Yeah. Maybe just a lot of people.
Melbourne better than Sydney, though.
Yeah.
I never had balls to move to Melbourne, but like…
It's wild how many Korean people move to Australia.
Yeah, dude. So many Koreans go to Australia. It's
they
crazy.
Have like… I don't know. They have weird like stereotypes.
Well, I think it's an easier, less expensive way to get your kid to learn English and out of… Korea
is really expensive.
Not as expensive as the US.
Australia
is very expensive.
Cannot be more expensive than the US.
Like, this
Come
is
on.
What I
get
say
out of here
with my family.
But they pay well, right? Like, if you get a part time job, they
depends.
Pay.
And they give you a work holiday visas in Australia where they don't do that in the States.
Yeah,
depends. That really depends. Nowadays, like the working holiday visas or whatnot they talk about, it is very difficult to get as well. They've changed the laws and whatnot. And especially if you don't know how to speak English, in a country where the English is main language spoken, they're not going to give you a good job. So most Koreans, they will go to Australia, work at cafes, restaurants.
Korean restaurants.
Yeah. Or like, you know, grocery stores. So they don't get that much of a great pay, you know.
But it's to say, unless you're living in LA or New York, I think America's cheaper than Sydney.
Really?
Sydney is one of the most expensive cities in the world.
But a lot of not
top 10.
All Koreans go to Sydney though. I know friends that just go to like Melbourne. Like
Sydney has the biggest Korean population in Australia, so it's like the equivalent, I guess, of LA for America.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even take international students in public schools all that well in Australia. They don't take international students because it doesn't help them make money, like the school, like the district school board or whatnot.
Yeah.
So most of the international students, like say Koreans, they always end up going to a private school, whether it's a Christian school or Catholic school. And the Christian school that I went to, man, the school. And after like me graduating, as soon as I graduated, they started building like two new different buildings and whatnot because of all the international students.
Why,
like
the why was fees, the school?
It was
a Catholic school, you said, right?
Christian school.
Yeah.
Christian school. Like the high school that I went to was a Christian school, like middle school, high school. They're all connected. And they didn't have all that much of international students back then, right? But then that school popped off because it was on one of the Korean variety shows or something, or just like one of these documentaries that they did. They went to this Christian school saying, hey, there's only one Korean student in school and he enjoys it or that whatever. And people started going to that school because they saw it on TV. Yeah. Oh, it must be a great school. It's Christian school too. So a bunch of Korean students started going there. And me, the place that I lived, it was very close to that school. So I had no choice but to go there. And there was the only school that accepted me. So I went there. Man, the fees are insane. Fees were insane.
Like how much?
It was like, I don't know. My mom probably, like my parents spent like good, like couple meals, I think, on, you know, having me and my brother be educated.
For a private school in Australia as a local student, anywhere from about, I'd say low ball is about 15 grand a year, up to about 40, 50,000 a year.
Wow.
But as an international student, you pay more.
We pay like almost like
double
times.
Two kids too.
Yeah.
Damn.
Two kids too.
Man, your dad had to make some cheddar to pay for that.
Oh man, like that's, I mean, like going back to the subject we were talking about before, what made you change and actually study? So I haven't been to Korea once I stepped into Australia for about like good 5 years, right? They didn't want me to come back because they thought that that's going to destroy my pattern or like the way of thinking me adjusting to Australia. So they stopped me coming to Korea. But after 5 years, I went to Korea to see my dad. And we used to live in a great house, you know. My dad used to drive a nice car and I was always known as a little kid who had like great parents and with money and whatnot. But then I came back to Korea. I was expecting the same car and the same house, right? And my dad came to pick me and my me and my little brother and my mom. And my dad came in with this like little small car that wouldn't even fit our luggages. And I was like, what is this, dad? Like, what happened? He was like, oh, nothing. I just decided to save some money. I was like, cool. And so we got to the house that we used to live in, right? And no, oh, you moved. Okay, cool. So I was expecting a bigger house because I knew how well off my dad was back then with his business.
Yeah.
And I got there. It was like a very small little townhouse or something like that. And I got there and there was somebody else in the living room. I was like, what is this? And he's like, oh, I'm living upstairs in like a little attic.
Oh.
I was like, huh? What happened? And he was just like, oh, you know, I thought I'll just save some money. But I knew then. That's when the financial status in Korea was getting very difficult. And my dad had to give up so much so that he could have me and, you know, or he could have the rest of the family living well in Australia.
Damn.
So that's when I was like, ooh. Wow. Seeing that, I was like, wow, what the hell is going on? But then being a little kid, I was very angry. Not thinking, oh, I should do well. I was the opposite. I was like, yo, what is going on? Like, is this what I deserve? Why did you send me to Australia in the first place? And if you're going to go through it.
And when was this? When he picked you up in the new car and you
started
So that
was when I was in grade 8.
Whoa. So it's like second year of middle school. Third year of middle school.
So I was like, yo, why did you even send me to Australia? And if you're going to go through I want to go back. So I would like fight with my family a lot about that. Like, I want to go back. Not because I wanted to go back, you know, just because I don't want to see my dad living like this. At least save some money on me, spending money, like, you know, on me. At least go all in with my little brother because he's a smart kid, not me. But, you know, they still thought that I needed to be there, at least graduate, you know, university and whatnot. I was like, okay, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, I'm in my last year of my, you know, high school. Okay. My dad went through that. My mom, I had to see my mom come to school like almost every 6 months, asking my principal, yo, can we just pay the fees later on? Like, can we just push the dates a little bit? Due dates a little bit? Because it is difficult.
Yeah. You know?
It was very difficult for our family. And that's when I was like, okay. I've done all the stuff that I could in Australia. What should I do now? That's when I thought, okay, at least let's get into university. That's when I started. Last year, my high school, and that's how I got into university. But yeah, I mean, like now it's all in history, so yeah, it's all good.
I don't know if this is a phenomenon that we deal with in the West. Like, I guess we don't generally send our children to study abroad. Like it happens quite often here in Korea.
Yeah, but then it doesn't happen.
But like having lived here for what I've lived here for 19 years now. And it's like, I've seen people do that. Now that I'm a father myself, I don't know if I could put myself in the situation.
Right.
First of all, to be separated from my children.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, you have to admire what those fathers have put themselves through.
Right.
For what they think is the betterment of their children's education.
Mm.
I mean, it's not always the case. Sometimes the kids go there and they don't do well in school, but to put that all in for the betterment of their family and their children, like that just blows my mind.
Yeah,
honestly, like to be that candid, like before I moved to Korea and like got more of like a grasp of like that culture, that idea of just like being so hard on your kids to like study and spending so much money on their education and shit, I thought it was like kind of cold. But now that I've like lived here, I just see that it's like a totally different way of showing love, you know? Like when I'm on the phone with my family, we're just like, love you, love you, love you, okay? And like, you know, my Korean friends, like sometimes they don't tell their parents don't say, I love you all the time, but they show it like crazy. Like living in a small house like that to send your kid to have like a better future. It's like, it's really amazing how much Asian families like invest in their kids.
Like I've worked my ass off for so long. It's like, you kind of want a better life for yourself. That's the mentality we bring from the West. It's like, you know, that's why I work so hard is so I can be comfortable.
Right.
You know, let my kids do it on their own. Right. But over here, it's a complete different mindset.
There are even like really rich people who constantly talk about how like, I made all this money. I'm not giving it to them. They need to work for their own money so that they'll build some character. And there is like, you know, there's something to be said for that for sure.
Well, Warren Buffett.
Yeah. How much is he giving his kids? It's something like,
like 5 cents. I don't know. 5 cents to 5 cents on the dollar. I don't know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That must have been kind of like sad to see your dad.
Oh, yeah. I was crying my balls out. Like, I was like, whoa, what is going on?
Devastating.
Yeah. It was devastating. But like I said, I was more angry than sad. You know? Why would you do that?
Why would you do this
for me? Why would you do that?
Why would you put yourself through this for me?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Like, you know, like I'll be all right. Why? But then, you know, if he didn't go through that for us, I wouldn't be here right now. You know what I mean? Like, especially doing this Tortuga Laboratory thing also. They hated me doing this. Is that going to get you money? Like, do you see a vision in it? They were very unsupportive of me doing this. Because seeing my little brother doing so well in his, you know, school years and whatnot. He's got a great job with great pay. He's got his missus now. His life is set. What are you doing? Like, what is this? Like, where is this 20-year laboratory thing going to get you anywhere? But, you know, now I've convinced him. I was like, you know, hey, I want to have fun. You know, I only live once. I want to have fun. I don't want to be caught up just by thinking that I got to make this much money. I got to show that, you know, I'm this type of person to my families and whatnot. At least let me have fun and, you know, have all that kind of shit that you expect follow. You know, like, I want to, you know, impress you guys. I want to make you guys proud by me doing things that I love doing, you know. So now they're happy, but in the beginning, they like threw so much at me all at once.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see you. Even like my grandparents, they didn't really like me doing that.
Wow.
Because, you know, like, I mean…
It sounds like you've come from a very traditional Korean household.
Very typical, like, Korean family and household. Yeah. And it was very difficult in the beginning. And that's why I was like… I didn't even tell them that I was back in Korea for a while. Like all the other relatives.
How long?
For about a good 2 years.
Really? Whoa.
I came to Korea a long time ago. In the first year of university… You know what? I have to get something out of my way. And at the time, I had student visa. I didn't have any, you know, PR or nothing, right? Mm. Or you guys would say green card or whatever. I didn't have this. I was like, okay, you know what? This university. Let me just stop, put on a pause. I'll go back to Korea. And I went to army.
Wow.
I went to army straight away.
But your parents must have known you did that.
Yeah, of course.
They were proud of you for probably
doing… Yeah, my dad being a very strong house elf, like, and he's… He gave me tough love. At the age of 20, I was like, hey, dad, I'm going to go to an army. He's like, well, when are you thinking about going? So let me just, you know, chill around for about a good year in Korea. Let me just have fun with my friends and drink and whatnot. And let me just go. He was like, okay.
He was like, okay,
you know what? You want to go watch a movie? I was like, yeah, sure. Why
signed
not?
Signed you up straight away and sent you to the army.
He did. He took me to this…
Really?
Yeah.
He keeps sending you away.
Pyeongmuchong. Like, what is that in English? Like, the military… like
enlistment?
Oh, yeah. Enlistment.
Yeah. So, I had to do this like full like…
The physical and everything.
Yeah. The body check and everything. Yeah. So, he was like, okay, you know what? We'll just do the body check first. And then we can use that results for you to be enlisted like for next year or something. Oh. I got there. And my dad's, hey, enlist him for next month. I was like, what? I just got here like a month ago. Like, what are you doing there? What are you doing? Just go first. I think it's better off. You just go. I was like, what are you going to do for a year? What are you going to do? Are you going to serve? Are you going to be doing all this like, you know, like weird? Are you going to be wasting money, wasting your time? Just go quick. It's better. I was like, oh my God. And I came out of that enlistment, like building or whatever. I was like crying. Dad, what are you doing the next month? So so I went in right after the month later. And I was still adjusting to Korea. You know, I was so used to being in that Australian culture. English was even more comfortable for me back then. And I was like, I don't know anything about army, you know? So I went there and tough love.
What happened when you got out of the army? Did he send you straight back to school?
So after I got out of the army, inside army, during that army time, I was like thinking a lot. I think I grew so much. I've matured so much within that 2 years in army. That's when I was like, okay, you know what? My dad went through that. My family went through that. Let me just save some money in Korea first. So after I got out, I decided to teach English at a tuition place for about good 3 months. Saved up some money. And with that money, I went back to Australia to study. Yeah. Right away. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what's your relationship like with your father?
It's great now. He's like my best buddy, you know.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, him and I, we just call by names now, you know what I mean? Like, Yeah, in Korea, I mean,
you don't even call him dad anymore. No. He's just like calling by his first name.
I call him by nickname. So he's got a like, I don't know. Now that he's old, you know, he's got a quiet, like a big forehead now. He's got some hair losses and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, hey, you know, forehead, what you doing? You know,
you call him Ima? Or is it?
Yeah. Yo, Mapax. I call him Mapax.
Mapax.
I'm like, yo, Mapax. Because his like, English name was Martin, right? Yeah. I was like, hey, Mapax, you know, like I'll call him that. He'll laugh it off now. Him and I, we cool. Yeah. Like, we are very, very chill now. You know what I mean? Like, now it's great. Him and I, we're best friends.
I mean, that's great because when you hear about going on a holiday, family holiday to Australia, and then 6 months later, let's go on another trip. And it's like, bye.
Yeah.
Leaving you behind. And it's like, you know, I'm going to go to the army, I'm going to hang out for a year. And it's like, let's go watch a movie. Bye. It's just kind of like, it's like an abandonment issue. It's like a lot of people could get really fucked up and then be like, hate their parents because of that.
Yeah. You seem to be okay about it.
Oh, I'm all right now.
You don't care. Yeah, it seems like
I understand. Had fun. Like now I have like cool stories to tell. Going through all that kind of shit, you know what I mean?
And honestly, if you're like involved in the entertainment industry, you do want to finish that military service as quickly as you can.
Right? Well, I mean, at that time, I didn't think that I'll be doing this. You know what I mean? This whole 20-year laboratory thing. I mean, like I said, in university times, my bachelor was teaching. I was going to become a teacher and math teacher too. Typical Asian math teacher. I was going to become that and I gave up on that. I decided to change and go to international business. I went through that. And, you know, my mate from Australia, he was within the scene in Korea. He came to Australia for a holiday and we were talking. He's like, yo, you know, you have like high interest in like fashion and whatnot. Why don't you just like, you know, come to Korea, just do something. I was like, I don't know. I contemplated for a while. I had a great job at the time. I was like, you know what? Let me just go. So right away, about a week later, I packed my… I came to Korea.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, cool. What am I going to do now? Nothing. I didn't know what to do.
But you were prepared for that, right? Because you've just been like dropped off and had to start anew like a few times.
Yeah, it's not like it's new.
I was trained. Yeah. I was trained for that. You know, so I came. I was like, what am I going to do? Nothing. But I need to have money. So I started just working at this… you know, just like a branded store, like fashion store, like a streetwear store. In store, I was doing all this and that and I was working. And just one day, I have this like group chat with a bunch of dudes. We're like all same age at the time. And they were like, hey, start something on your own, man. Like, you know, there's 9-to-5 jobs. Like, what are you doing? Like, just do something. You have…
Those are good friends.
Yeah. Because they're all in this line of work. All of them. Okay. And they were like, yo, I can see a potential. You're a psycho. The way of you thinking, the way you like see things, it's insane. You're very creative. I think you got to do something. And there was Alex and, you know, Corbin, one of our partners, and a bunch of other guys in the group chat. They were like, you should try something. And that's when I was like, okay, maybe I'll try. I was thinking about it for a while and about like a couple months in, maybe I should just, you know, start selling clothes because I'm so interested in fashion. So I started doing just easy streetwear, like hoodies, like crew necks and t-shirts and hats. I started just printing weird on it, like things that I just wanted to put on, started selling. But then it wasn't going anywhere because I didn't have any name for this. They were like, what is this? I need to have a name for this.
Yep.
Okay. The group chat was called 28, just number 28 because we were all 28 years old. 28. That number sounds cool, you know? I'm 28 years old. It's the very first time that I'll be trying something for myself on my own. So that's special to me. It's 28. What am I going to do with it? I got to experiment a bunch of Where do you experiment? Laboratory. Cool. 20 laboratory. I'm going to just go with that. And ever since then, I was selling clothes for about a good 2 years. And then Corbin and all the other guys, they were like, hey, you know, why don't we just branch out to do music and visuals and stuff? And you sure with me? Why? I don't know shit about this. You guys are great in this field, but I don't know jack shit. Like, why me? They're like, yo, I was getting a bunch of love calls from different companies and whatnot. But instead of doing that, I want to do something together as a team. And you know, being great friends, I think we could make something work. And that's how it grew into this.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome. It's fun. It's fun.
I guess being sent off to halfway around the world, being sent off to boot camp, it's kind of prepared you well for life.
And, yeah, I guess.
A lot of people don't know how to deal with the hurdles that life throws at them, but it feels like your parents I don't know if it was something they were doing intentionally.
Mm. Yeah.
But they definitely
just to start things up like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually a really, really cool way to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what you did, right? No experience with that kind of work at all.
Yeah. Then, well, it's like no experience speaking English. You're living in Australia.
Yeah.
No experience, well, not a lot of experience speaking Korean. Now you're in the army. And like going into the army in Korea, it's not, they speak a whole other language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've had experiences with it and it just, it's a mind because what you've learned and what you've spoken up until now and they're using all these different terminology and it's just like, boom, mind exploding.
Yeah.
So I think like for someone like yourself in the position that you've been in multiple times, I can only see 28 Laboratories getting bigger and bigger and bigger and just
doing better
because you've got the life experience that allows you to do that.
Mm. Mm.
Hope so. Yeah. Bloody hope so.
Thanks so much for coming, dude.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, speaking of 28 Laboratory, can you shout out some stuff like socials and stuff, some plugs you want to give our audience?
Right. So 28 Laboratory, we have our YouTube channel and our social network platforms. Just don't worry about the social network platforms. Just make sure to go to our YouTube channel. It's /28Laboratory. You guys should be able to find all this bunch of great music and the visuals and whatnot. Check it out.
Anything upcoming that we can look forward to in the near future?
Yeah. So Corbin, who is not here with me today, he's our partner. He's working on a bunch of songs, different like collabs with people. And, you know, we have Lex, who's just, finished his first single. It's released about like a couple months ago. And now he's working on another song. It's great. And
we're going to have Lex on soon.
Oh, yeah. He is. So like, it's going to be great. He's got a bunch coming as well. So. Yeah, look forward to it.
Awesome. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
A pleasure. Mike. And just some of those stories are really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
For real, yeah.
Of course, if you want to watch this podcast in its entirety, you can find us on YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram at Dive Studios. Don't forget, you can listen to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well. And we appreciate it when you leave us a review, preferably five stars. Exactly. Oh, trained perfectly. You did that on the other. You did that on the other podcast, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, really?
First time.
Wow. Practice makes perfect.
All right. Five stars.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Right. Thank you.
See y'all next time.
Bye.
See you in the next episode, guys. Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.